Fall of the Roman Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC. The Great Mithridatic War, 74 to 63 BC, Part 1. Now, Rome had previously dealt with Mithridates VI, Eupator, in 88 BC, and Sulla had dealt with him in 85 BC. And then, of course, after Sulla dealt with him, he headed back to Italy and became dictator. However, Mithridates VI was preparing to expand once again. In 75 BC, the childless king of Bithynia, Nicomedes IV, died and did what a number of eastern kings did as well. He bequeathed his kingdom to the Roman people. Now, some of them even had children as heirs, and so in those cases, Rome was made the executor of the will, because under the Roman legal system, it was impossible for the Romans to take the land away from the people that they had been executors for. That's what Cleopatra did, or Cleopatra's father. The Roman Senate then declared Bithynia a Roman province. This action provoked Mithridates VI of Pontus. Now, he began the rule in 120 BC, and he's going to rule until 63 BC. So he's ancient at this time. Now, Mithridates feared that the Romans would block his access to the Aegean Sea. So swiftly, Mithridates occupied Bithynia before the Romans could arrive. So 11 years of uncertainty and uncertain peace between Pontus and Rome now came to an abrupt end. At least Mithridates is one of those people that when he ends a peace, he ends a peace. The long-expected Mithridatic War erupted sooner than either side had actually designed. Mithridates had begun to make war preparations when the Roman Senate showed an unwillingness to ratify the Treaty of the Dardanus, which had been made with Sulla in 85 BC. That, of course, enraged Roman exiles, and that allowed Pontus, or Mithridates, I should say, to get those Roman exiles and added them to his army, modernizing it. Mithridates made alliances with his son-in-law, Tigranes II of Armenia. He made alliances with the pirates of Crete and Sicilia, and he made alliances with Sertorius in Spain, who actually helped train, or sent people to train them. When the war broke out, the pirates flocked to Pontus and helped with the buildup of Mithridates' formidable navy. Sertorius, as I said before, had sent some of his officers to drill and train the Pontic army to fight with Roman tactics. Tigranes actually did nothing. Well, at least not yet. One of the Roman consuls of 74 BC was Lucullus, a man of very old aristocratic family who had fallen into poverty. After his consulship, he was slated to become governor of Cisalpine Gaul, but contrived to have himself transferred to the provinces of Sicilia and Asia. That would give him command of the Roman army in the war with Mithridates. Lucullus's colleague, Marcus Aurelius Cotta, received Bithynia as his province and command of the Roman fleet. At the same time, Marcus Antonius, the father of Mark Antony, was given an extraordinary command to suppress the pirates of Crete and Sicilia, the naval allies of Mithridates. Unfortunately, Antonius failed miserably. The pirates of Crete compelled Antonius to sign a disreputable treaty, which of course the Roman Senate repudiated, and Antonius afterward died on Crete. Cotta, in his first year, also had difficulties. Hoping to carry off a big victory before Lucullus could reach the battle area, he impatiently began military operations against Mithridates, who attacked him by both land and sea. He killed 3,000 of Cotta's men, burned and captured 70 Roman ships, and then blockaded Cotta and the city of Chalcedon, which is across the harbor there from Istanbul, Byzantium. Lucullus now arrives with less than 30,000 infantry and 1,600 cavalry, but he forced Mithridates to raise the siege of Chalcedon. Then he won a magnificent series of battles against tremendous numerical odds. Then Mithridates, instead of retreating to familiar mountain territory in Pontus, where he might have lured the Romans into an ambush, decided to go west and laid siege to the large city of Cyzicus. There Mithridates was trapped by Lucullus, and where he lost most of his huge army. Mithridates, with his communications cut and his people running short of supplies, he had managed, unfortunately, to allow his army to be pinned between the almost impregnable walls of Cyzicus and the immovable Roman army. At this point, storms destroyed the siege works that he was using against the city. Disease broke out in his army, and defeat followed defeat. Mithridates' fleet did allow him to save a small number of his troops, but at one point his army numbered as high as 200,000. Lucullus then turned out to be as good an admiral as he was a general. Near Lemnos, he attacked and completely destroyed a Pontic fleet of 50 ships, carrying 10,000 elite troops, many of them Roman exiles, which had managed to break out into the Aegean Sea. Unfortunately, Mithridates is not an easy man to finish off. It will take Lucullus 7 more years of fighting. And then, of course, ultimately, Mithridates is defeated by Pompey. So we've got a ways to go at this particular point. There's always the big discussion about why in the world Lucullus, with a small army, is so good against Mithridates, and later on against Tigranes II. Now, both of these men really rely heavily on heavy cavalry, and I'm talking about the cataphract cavalry, that cavalry that I did a podcast on. Now, the weakness of that is once their momentum is stopped, then they are pretty open to being defeated. Because then they're stopped, they're mulling around, the people can kill their horses, can get to the rider. So if their charge does not break the enemy formation, then they're usually, not only are they in trouble, but the only way they can get out is, of course, to turn and retreat. And in some cases, they're not very well disciplined, and they will literally run through their own people. And so that is one of the issues. The other thing is, by using the heavy elite cataphract cavalry, when it fails, it kind of reduces the morale of everybody else. And that's what both Mithridates and Tigranes counted on. As I said before during the show, that he had Roman-style legionnaires and tried to make his army into a more Roman style than the Greek Hellenistic style. But it wasn't his primary focus. It was still the heavy cavalry. And the same tactics with a few changes, not going to work against the Romans. And Lucullus just drove him, Mithridates, and Tigranes II nuts. There's actually one battle against the Armenians where Lucullus has so few troops that Tigranes' account is, why there are so few troops. They're not enough to be an army, but it's too big to be an embassy. And then, of course, he gets trounced. Anyway, so the sources for this are, of course, the History of the Romans by Heckelheim and Yao, Chronicle of the Roman Republic by Matusak, and the History of the Romans by Born, as well as, you know, the ancient sources that I've used before. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment. Check out the CDs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.